We live in a twilight world. Welcome to Limbo. That's going to be the title of this little documentary, this little story time video, whatever you want to call it, because it's the only real way to describe like what the last 20 days have been like for me. Stuck in limbo, in a place where I've lost all concept of time, because believe it or not, on the day of this recording, we are now, day 20 of the phony baloney stage engineered manufactured war in Israel and Palestine. For me, it feels like about 2 days, you know? We're getting close to like 3 weeks, and it feels to me like 2 days since day one to here. And that includes my trip to here, what you're seeing on the screen, Cyprus. Okay, I had basically planned to get myself over to Gaza and, you know, 3 failed attempts. I had a flight via Turkey cancelled on me, a flight via the UK cancelled on me. I kind of accepted they were just going to keep cancelling the flights on me, right? Because they don't want anyone, any citizen journalists snooping around there, right? So I decided to get myself as close as possible, and I went to Cyprus because I spent the first week checking out flights, departures, what flights were getting cancelled and what weren't. Cyprus is 1 hour flight time away from Tel Aviv. And the flights were, according to the Larnaca International Airport website, were going ahead. 4 flights going in, 4 flights going out per day. Now, the catch was, it's only Israel Air. Israel's own airlines were the only ones flying in and out. And obviously I booked myself one of them flights when I got to Cyprus. I got to the checkout desk and the Mossad agent standing there would not print me my boarding pass. He turned me away. I called it a day then, and I basically turned my, what would have been an illusion warfare report in Israel and Palestine, into kind of a fun, nice holiday in Cyprus, where I went to here, this ghost city, what you're looking at on the screen. This is a place called Varosha in the Famagusta district. I would say northeast Cyprus. Now, it's technically under the Turkish territory, so you have to cross over the border. For those that don't know, 1974, there was a war here in Cyprus. Okay, Cyprus was a British territory that they gave up. And, the place fell into civil war, with the Turkish wanting to take it. And, of course, the large Cypriot Greek populace not having it. War broke out. And obviously the country got divided up. This place here, Varosha, was apparently, according to the internet, if we can trust the internet, the most popular holiday destination in the world prior to the war kicking off. And look at it now, it is a ghost town, no one lives there. Everyone fled. When the Turkish army were approaching, everyone fled. They believed there was going to be a massacre. And that's it. They fled in 1974 and no one's ever gone back. Varosha itself now is technically under the jurisdiction of the UN. Okay, you will see UN vans driving around. Right at this moment of time, it's the Slovakian army on behalf of the UN that are patrolling this ghost town, this Varosha. But of course, the Turkish military are there as well, on site. About 2 years ago, a certain section of it was opened up to the public. And that's where you see all my footage, right? I'm walking around the parts that are opened up, right? It's amazing. For me, I love it. Yeah, this is my kind of holiday. You can basically just rent an extra scooter or a bike and just drive around, cycle around, scooter around all of these empty kind of buildings, right? Now, the vast majority of Varosha is shut off, okay? It's technically, I think, 7 square kilometers. It's more long, but anyway, most of it is shut off. Now, yes, I am going to say they are using this place to stage a lot of the footage in Israel and Palestine right now, and we'll get to that soon, right? Because basically, even the parts you're allowed to walk around there are like sealed off screens with no camera signs all along it, and you can see the military coming in and out. The UN are there, you know, making sure nobody goes off the kind of designated kind of places where us tourists are allowed to walk around. But as you can see, man, like I did an interesting little thread called The War Magician, where I basically walked around this place and then I done a fictional thread claiming to be in Gaza. And it fooled a lot of people, man. I think a lot of people were kind of very confused by it. They didn't really know how to take it. But a lot of people, of course, you know, messaged me saying, oh, you're in Gaza, let me support you. And I was like, no, it was a hoax, Fred. And I did make it clear on a thread from from tweet number one, tweet number two, this is a hoax, Fred, a fictional Fred of me in Gaza. Because I was merely wanting to show people how easy it would be to fake the current ridiculous amounts of footage that are flooding the internet right now, claiming to be the aftermath of, you know, Israel bombs and Hamas bombs. You know, the aesthetics here in Cyprus, in Varosha, in Famagusta, are pretty much identical, right? And that's the thing. I've been saying this since day one, right? You know, a lot of this is going on with the Ukraine war as well, right? Of course, like Ukraine and many parts of Russia having probably the highest amount of, you know, ghost towns, ex-Soviet Union, either military bases or farm towns that are just now dead because the USSR fell and no one was there to kind of keep people in these places and keep them alive and running. Of course, in the Ukraine and Russia and all of the ex-Soviet Union states, most of them now are closed off. And NATO have taken over them, and NATO are using them. You know, they tell us on paper as training facilities, but really we know, well, we don't know. But there's a good chance that's where they're staging a lot of the Ukraine, Russia fake and phony fighting videos. You know, this is not new to anyone who's been following my work for a long time, okay? So yeah, man, this is Cyprus. You're looking at all these images. On my very interesting thread, all I did was I filmed up above and I didn't film any of the barriers at the bottom and the signage. It was obviously all in kind of Turkish/Greek writing. I just cleverly filmed in a way that didn't show any of the other tourists, and then it didn't show any of the Turkish/Greek/English kind of writing like you see here on this sign. I made sure that didn't get in. And then I just overlaid kind of war sound effects, sirens, distant gunfire, distant bombs being dropped. And yeah, man, very convincing videos. So yeah, guys, go on Twitter or go onto my Fred, you know, Fred Reader app, my account on there, and look for The War Magician, A Journey into Gaza, a fictional Fred. That's what it's called, okay? And it's all this footage here. But like I said, man, you know, 20 days, it feels like 2 days, man. Limbo. I've been in limbo. And that, yet again, I want to highlight is the problem with these Black Mirror, Black Cube devices. And the dilemma I have with my illusion warfare reports. That's why I can't go on forever doing it, because, or as interesting as they are and as, you know, revealing as they are, as important as they are, they suck a lot of my time away from me, and they must do it to you guys as well that look and enjoy my content. So, yeah, again, something we have to think about moving forward. But, yeah, I mean, I've lost a ridiculous amount of money because I took not so much the trip to Cyprus. I mean, I don't spend a lot, man. I sleep in the cheapest of cheapest hostels. I don't really eat much. I just sunbathe most of the day. You know, I don't spend much, but I took 2 weekends off work. So that's where I lost, you know, about 800 quid. So I lost about a grand in my attempts to get to Israel, Palestine. Cost me a grand, and I never even got to step foot in those countries. hey man, it is what it fucking is. What can you do? But yeah, you know, if you're looking at these images, Famagusta, you know, Ghost City. Incredible place, man. Like, it was worth it just to go here. But, you know, building after building after building, just empty. Empty beachfronts. Great place, you know. But yeah, a large section is shut off. And obviously, like, you know, on a little tourist bit you're allowed to go on, you'll basically get to a dead end. It'll just have security guards sitting there. And that's it. And you'll see the UN go off and driving off. And, you know, the place is massive. And I went here twice, actually. The first day was like a weekend. It's very quiet. But I went back on like on a Monday, right? So I think I went on a Saturday. Then I went on a Monday. And the amount of Turkish military there and UN folks running around was incredible. There's definitely something going on there at the moment. And I think it is directly related to the current conflict, Israel and Palestine. Other things to note about Cyprus, yeah. Although the British Empire, you know, gave up Cyprus as a territory, they've always maintained a military presence there. That's what these fuckers do, you know. And just looking at the screen here, you see all the bullet holes in the wall. Now, it doesn't, you know, in my opinion, this would have been a perfect kind of illusion warfare operation, you know, illusion op. They basically would have told the residents of Varosha at the time in 1974, oh, look, the Turkish are coming. They would have all been evacuated to a nearby British base, which was just to the south of it, conveniently. And then the Ghost Army would have come in and blown the shit out of the place and, you know, fired some machine guns into the wall and made it look like what it does now, this war-torn kind of former seaside resort, you know. What was once the most popular tourist destination in the world, allegedly. Yeah, bullet holes, bombed out buildings, as you can see on the screen here. Yeah, and it's incredible, but yeah, so the UN are still in Cyprus trying to like negotiate certain territories and give these kind of buildings back to the Greek people. Obviously the Turkish are still trying to claim or maintain a presence here. And like I was just saying, yeah, the British military, although they gave up this territory, have maintained a large presence here. They've got 98 square meters of Ministry of Defense land here in Cyprus, including the RAF base, I think it's called Akatori, and then more to the east of the island, they've got obviously a whole army base and a whole kind of like little village where all the British army people live. And as you're driving up to cross over the border into the Turkish side, you drive through this little military town, British one, and there's all British shops and that, all the signage is British. Weird, man. It's just very, very surreal. But yeah, like I said, man, this is what the British Empire does, man. They give up these territories, but they, due to the fact of this phony baloney war in 1974, it's given them a good excuse to keep a military presence here, to be the negotiators, right? As kind of a peacekeeping operation to kind of like mediate between the two arguing factions, and to be here to protect the people. Brilliant kind of tactical kind of chess moves by the British Empire, man. They're very good at doing this. And of course, that gives them a launch pad, an unsinkable aircraft carrier right there overlooking the Middle East, where they can fly in and do all of their phony fake bombing and allow the Ghost Army to, you know, do the phantom bombing that is going on now in Israel and Palestine. So I think we should probably just go look over to a map right now and I'll show you what I'm talking about. So here we are. Here's a map. Here's Cyprus. Here is Gaza, Israel, and then Tel Aviv. Yeah, it's 1 hour away. And yeah, man, this, you know, the British have got a base, an air. Let's zoom in. The British have an RAF base here. And then here as well. And then this is Famagusta. And this is where the ghost town is. Where would you say it is? I'm pretty sure it's all of this. This part is obviously like a still functioning marina. And yeah, from here, here, this is it. As you can see, it's quite thin, but it's very long. I think it's about 7 kilometers long. But yeah, man. But the part you can walk in is only about from here to about here. All of this is closed off, and I think a lot of this is closed off as well, you know, with the UN and the Turkish military kind of like patrolling it. It's, you know, guys, Cyprus is a great little holiday destination, definitely worth a check out if you've, you know, I mean, you've got Ayia Napa, which is like the party place around here. Apparently Limassol is very nice. Paphos is very nice. You know, I definitely go back there. When I've got some money, I definitely go back there and explore the whole island. You know, you can rent a scooter for a day, zip around everywhere, man. I'll definitely head back there. Listen, any sugar mamas out there, if you're hot and single and you want to just give me money to go fly around the world, then, you know, hit me up. Anyway, I mean, just look. I mean, just appreciate how fucking small Gaza is, how small Israel is. And that, I mean, what, that's like the size of Birmingham. That's Damascus, you know. This would have been, if I would have made it into Tel Aviv, this would have been literally my road to Damascus. Yeah. But, you know, the Matrix, Agent Smith had, you know, they were well ahead of me, man. They did not let me in onto a plane in Larnaca. Because look, man, Skynet learns at a geometric rate, okay? What I got away with in Ukraine and all of the kind of problems that came with you with Ukraine, you know, they've now learned how to kind of correct them and deal with them. And that's all that happened. Now, that's one thing we have to consider, yeah? We're never really beating the Black Cube. We're just merely teaching it how to play the game better. So, whereas before in Ukraine, I kind of slipped through the net. This time, you know, and that's why they've moved, I think, World War III to the location of Israel, because it's such an impossible place to get to. You know, it's just near enough impossible. You know, I debated going to Egypt and kind of hitting up the Rafah boarding. But funny enough, when I was in Larnaca, the Mossad Agent Smith guy basically said, he brought up the fact that I'd lived in Egypt for a bit doing the background checks on my passport, and he basically said, if you've ever spent time in, you know, Lebanon, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, that you're considered kind of like, you know, you're red flagged as to coming into the country. So who knows, at a later date I might head through Cairo up to the Rafah border. But that's it. Once I've stepped foot in a recent time in Egypt, I'm now even going to be have more troubles getting into Israel regarding my background checks. No, I don't think I'd ever, Agent Smith would ever let me in that country anyway, right? You know, I kind of wear it as a badge of honor that I was denied access to the British state of Israel. But yeah, man, anyway, back to the British state of Cyprus, where Britain has apparently given it up as a territory, but they still have a military base. This is an unsinkable aircraft carrier where they've got, you know, where they'd be flying out doing their hoax bombing, hoax ISIS, hoax Hamas, hoax Taliban bullshit all around this region. Yeah. They'll come in, they'll do their phantom bombing, they'll head back here. That's why in the news it's such a current misdirect at the moment, where they're making out like the US and the Navy is coming up here to, like, why would they need to do that when Britain has a fully functioning, you know, unsinkable aircraft carrier here? And they've got a whole fleet of the Poseidon spy planes as well. So you'll have these Poseidon intelligence collecting aircraft flying above the whole film set, making sure it's all going to plan. Now, yet again, whether or not the IDF, the Israeli military, know that the British are the hidden hand controlling all of this fictions of World War III, I don't know. I can never really answer that. But anyway, but yeah, man, just look how small Gaza is. Just to give you some perspective, let's zoom out. Yeah, that's the UK. That little speck there is Gaza. That little slightly bigger speck is Israel. Fucking tiny, man. You've basically got a country that's got the amount of surveillance that the City of London has. It's going to be very close to the amount of... because, you know, the City of London itself is the most surveillance city in the world, has the most pound-for-pound, you know, cameras. And, you know, you walk down one street in London, you're captured 400 times by surveillance cameras, yeah? That's an old number. It's probably a lot more now, being, you know, most people are walking surveillance units anyway. But yeah, man, just look at the freaking size difference. I mean, it would have been one hell of a mission to A, get into Israel, then get into Gaza, and then get out. But anyway, man, let's go back to some Cyprus footage. So yeah, here's a dog. This is still, we're still on the ghost city of Varosha in Famagusta, Cyprus. We'll look at a few more shots of the old battered up buildings, and we'll move on to, you know, Cyprus itself, you know, down on the south coast of Cyprus, you know, where things are relatively normal. I did hear through the grapevine, talking through taxi drivers and locals and stuff, that there are currently an influx of Israeli and Palestinian kind of immigrants that the police, you know, kind of like buildings have been set up, they're being guarded by the police, you know, because they're worried that each one might create attack the other one. But yeah, I think I got told there was a Jewish kind of complex that's been set up to house immigrants, and there's obviously one for the other guys, you know, the Palestinians. I saw a few guys walking through the streets with Palestinian flags and stuff. When I was in my hostel, there was definitely a few Israeli guys in there, probably escaping the military draft, you know. A lot like what I saw in the hostel I stayed in Kiev, you know, it's just full of these men that were trying to avoid the bullshit of being called up to a military kind of service. Which is good to see, really. You know, people might consider them scumbags and cowards, but it's good that they're not participating in the bullshit. So, yeah. Let's do that. Let's go and now take a look at, I don't know, let's look at Larnaca Bay, and let me show you the propaganda that's going on in Larnaca Bay. So here we are, Larnaca Bay. I'm going to speed up this first part, because there's nothing really interesting here, but we'll get to the propaganda part. But yeah, man, this is Larnaca Bay. Very beautiful. Nice kind of touristy place. Restaurants, coffee shops, a beach further along. You know, it's incredible to think that allegedly an hour away on a plane, there are supposedly, you know, World War III bombs are raining down and missiles and bullets and all this kind of shit. But yeah, here we are. Life goes on at normal. If I would have got inside Israel, I would have shown you that the same thing's going on. That Tel Aviv, the beaches will be full right now. There'll be people just wearing sunglasses and flip-flops, chewing in coffee shops. I would have shown you that side of the story that, you know, look, they don't want you to see life going on as normal. Right now, the mainstream media want you to believe that, you know, it's like the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan on everyday streets of Israel and Palestine, you know, and it's obviously not the case, yeah? All of the theatrics happen on very closed off sections of the map. Yeah, what I call film sets, they're closed off. The theatrics happen, and then later on, you know, there might be a time when they open up to the public. And this will now become an illusion zone when they want you walking around, you know, a former, you know, quote, war zone, and, you know, taking selfies next to blown up tanks and all this kind of shit. Taking a selfie next to a blown up building. Very much like what I just showed you there with, you know, the Ghost City and what I was doing, yeah? So anyway, I'm going to cut to now the main propaganda stuff I want to show you, which I found quite interesting. So here we are, Larnaca Beach. That's the stage there. That right there is the Mediterranean Sea. And just a stone's throw across that Mediterranean Sea is Israel and Palestine. So yeah, I really want to show you these propaganda kind of pictures that are, you know, all around the world, but I want to show you them here on Larnaca beachfront. You know, the pictures that you're seeing all around the world of kidnapped or killed or missing kind of people, supposedly from the 7/10 is Hamas attacks, okay? Now, these pictures are all around Larnaca. Every kind of electrical box like this, front and back, every bus stop, and, you know, even across all the banks. Yeah, man. You know. Yeah, again, it's another red flag, isn't it? Because once again, these kind of posters were already up, printed, and ready to go. Too quick, in my opinion. Way too quick for this to be a real kind of event. It's very kind of pre-planned, you know. Event management, they've already pre-planned their marketing and, you know, advertisement strategy. Yeah, man. Very much like the Ukraine war, right? Within like day one, they already had buses logoed up with Stand By Ukraine. The Stand By Ukraine kind of posters and stickers were everywhere. How is it? How did who printed all that stuff so quick? Who gave the go ahead? Truth is, they were already made before the war even started. Yeah. Yeah, man. Like I said, man, every electric box all up and down here, the beach. So you come here to Larnaca to try and have a nice kind of beach holiday, a lounge holiday, and this is kind of put into your subconscious. You know, you might be one of the lucky fuckers that doesn't carry a Black Mirror device with you. Doesn't matter. You're going to get the propaganda, you're going to get the false reality incepted into your head via posters on the wall. Very, very simple and effective tricks, really, when you think about illusion warfare. No different than putting them kind of stickers on the floor for the scamdemic, right? You know, 6 feet apart, wear your mask. Same sort of thing. With illusion warfare, they want to transform your environment to match the fiction that is currently going on. Yeah, they want the aesthetics around you to match the fiction going on, okay? They want to create the theater in your mind that correlates and coincides with the theater in the streets. Yeah, the theatrics and deception that's happening in the streets. They're covering both sides, right? You know, to create a false reality, you've got to hit the physical senses, right? Which is this. You can really see these posters everywhere. You know, and there, believe me, there was enough people stopping and staring and taking pictures, right? I believe at the bottom of these posters, it even says, like, take a picture of this and share it with your friends. So yet again, they want the masses to partake in a propaganda campaign. Say your nan goes on holiday, your NPC normie nan, she sees this, it says at the bottom, take a picture and show your friends, the world needs to know. She then sends it back to her friends and family back in Europe. That's it. She's now partaking in the propaganda campaign. Clever, but very sinister and very gross at the same time, man. And that's a big problem we have with today's kind of world, is that, you know, the masses are of their own free will partaking in the illusion and kind of bringing it to life. Like I always talk about the metaphor of the magic circle. They are standing in the magic circle, chanting a mantra, bringing the tulpa to life. So, you know, it is what it is, man. You know, but that's, you know, that's why you just kind of get on with your own life and just, you know, if you're still trapped in this idea of, you know, we need to wake the masses up, guys, it's never going to happen. Yeah, the Westworld robots are not meant to wake up. You know, the thing about these propaganda pictures as well, they've covered all languages. They had it in Greek and in English, okay? They want everyone to see. And of course, this is quite interesting. The previous propaganda campaign, the Stand By Ukraine nonsense here on Anarka Beach. Candles and flags. I wonder how many people have stood next to this and taken a selfie. And in fact, I even caught someone, you know, lighting all the candles one night, doing their fake kind of kneeling down praying kind of video for Instagram. It was kind of gross, man. Ha! What I forgot to mention, I'll mention right now, there was a ridiculous amount of Ukrainians on holiday in Cyprus. So go figure that one out. How is it that people from a war-torn country can afford to go on holiday? Because most English people right now cannot afford it. Yet Ukrainians can. How is that possible? How are people in a war zone able to just nip off to Larnaca and have the and be able to go on holiday? I don't know. Something to think about. You know, and there's no airports open in Ukraine, so they had the money to go to Poland and then fly out. I don't know, man. Yeah, man. I don't know. I think I will kind of end this here. We'll kind of end with a few more shots of the ghost city. The highlight of my holiday. And that's it really, you know. What really else can I talk about? I think for me, I'm kind of going to, for now, close the book on Israel and Palestine. I don't think I'm going to be able to get out there. The reason I didn't really talk about it much is I was keeping my cards close to my chest, yeah. I didn't really want to make a big thing about it. But now I can talk about it. Now it's all felt full and through. But yeah, man, since day one, I was looking at tickets, trying to get my arse out there. And it's all part of the game of illusion warfare reporting. You know, sometimes you fail. I've had a fair few ones that have fallen through. Obviously, like the Maui fires, I just couldn't afford to go. Ridiculous amount of pricing. Yet again, that's the Matrix and Agent Smith keeping me out. I remember I booked one to France where the rioting was going on. And I just didn't make it to the airport in time. I missed my flight. Lost about $200 there. And, you know... Yeah, the pursuit of truth sometimes is not always successful. You're kind of battling the kind of shadowy, kind of hidden hand that wants to keep things under wraps, you know. They want to keep things behind a gate, and the last thing they want is truth seekers, you know, guerrilla journalists turning up, snooping around and pulling apart the illusion, man. That's what they don't want. We live in a twilight world. There are no friends at dusk.